Well, hey, you guys, it's awesome to be with you this morning. It was great to have some relief from the rain. I was up at 3:30. We had hail over in Salina, and trash cans were blowing over, and it got a little crazy. So if you see bags under my eyes, don't judge me. But as the looks of it, I'm in good company, so thank you this morning. As Richard mentioned, we are planting a church. Currently, I'm on staff at Gateway, and at the end of this year, my wife and I and some of our team will actually relocate up to Denver. We're planting Legacy Hills Church, and I'll share a little bit about that during the message. But we're really excited. It's certainly a call from God, and we at this church, I know you guys believe in the voice of God. Amen? And so we're going to talk some about that, but I do want to say thank you so much for allowing Pastor Jim to have a time away to be refreshed. Can I tell you that as a minister of the gospel, that's crucial. If you're a mother, it's crucial that you get some rest. If you're a father, it's crucial that you get some rest. And certainly if you're a pastor, it's of utmost importance. I think how many times Jesus actually got away from his friends, from the ministry, from doing what he was called to do, to be with the Father. And I know sometimes in the pace of life, we have to help people get refreshed. And so I just want to celebrate you guys for giving your pastor that time. Well, this morning I'm going to be talking about following the shepherd. And I have to reference a trip to Israel that I took 2 years ago. So I have a picture of a time where we were in Bethlehem. And this is as of 2020, right before Bethlehem shut down due to COVID-19. So I had not heard of COVID-19 at the time. We were in Bethlehem. We were high-fiving, shaking hands. We were just around people all the time. And right after we left this city, we heard that Israel was about to shut down and that we were going to have to go back to the States. So it all worked out well. But this picture right here is, I want to use the word pasture land, but when you're in Israel, grass is very important because people are still shepherding animals and they're taking them through this kind of terrain. If we go to the next picture, you'll see a cool little site where these shepherds are taking their goats, and in other areas they were taking flocks of sheep and looking for any grass that they could find. And you see all these rocks. Now, something to consider about Israel is that this area is thousands of years old. And so there are layers upon layers of civilization that have gone before the people that are living there right now. And up to the left and far in the back, you can see infrastructure. You can see some of the city. You can see businesses and houses. But wherever you see open grass, that's where the shepherds will lead the goats or the sheep. And then this next picture is actually earlier this year, I went to Jordan. So Jordan borders Israel. This was a little goat that I think about the story of the 99, Jesus leaving the 99 for the one. We found the one and he came up and took a photo with us. It was a great time. But if you're not familiar with modern day Jordan, it borders Israel and it is the land that is often talked about in the book of Exodus, in the Old Testament, prior to the Israelites crossing the Jordan River, getting into the promised land, modern day Israel and greater areas. But they would be in what we call Jordan today as they were walking through the wilderness. And so there's many sites that we got to go to, but we got to see real shepherds and real sheep. And if you're from the city, then you may not get to see that a whole lot. But by the looks of driving in, y'all got some cattle. This is why I like Texas. Colorado has cattle too, y'all. You just got to go east of Denver. Well, this morning we're talking about following the shepherd. And to set this up, I want to bring us back to a moment in Genesis 2. Because there's this portrayal of a Garden of Eden where two trees specifically are mentioned. The tree of life and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Are y'all familiar with this? And so what the Lord says, he plants these trees in the garden and he tells Adam that he can eat from any tree, except for the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And then fast forward into Genesis 3, we have this encounter where the serpent approaches Eve and makes this statement. Did God really say? Now, I say statement, he's asking a question, but what he's doing is planting a seed of deceit. Did God really say you couldn't eat from any tree? And so he's already bringing some confusion into the way that Eve is recounting what God said. And when Eve responds, she's actually beginning to say that God said we couldn't eat from the tree in the midst of the garden. There's a fine detail that's often missed there, because God didn't say she couldn't eat from the tree in the midst of the garden, because what Genesis 2 gives the account of is God said there were two trees in the midst of the garden. And so we just see this. Here's what God said. We know that Adam would have relayed that to Eve. Here's what Satan said. And then here is what Eve walks away with. Now, every tree in the Garden of Eden was good for food. So even the bad tree, even the tree you're not supposed to eat from, is still good for food. It's pleasant to the sight. But there was one factor that Eve wanted that separated the tree of the knowledge of good and evil with every other tree. It was wisdom. It had fruit that was to be eaten when you desire wisdom. And I'm bringing that up because today we're talking about following the shepherd. And there's some things that we often do in life as we're navigating between here's my walk with God and then here's how things have always been. This is what culture's like. This is what the way that I was raised. This is how society tells me to live. And we're constantly in this tension. And I believe that every day we find ourselves back in the garden where we know what we're supposed to do. Come on, we know which tree we're supposed to pursue. We know what the voice of the Father has led us into. And then there's this plan B. Has anyone ever pursued plan B to get more knowledge, to get more wisdom? I know I have. You don't have to raise your hand. So I think about this, though. We're constantly choosing between these two trees because knowledge is huge, especially in our society today. Has anybody heard of just a small little search engine called Google? Okay, a few of you have visited that site. Did you guys know YouTube is actually considered a search engine? So it's not just a platform to watch videos. You don't even have to Google things anymore. If you type it into YouTube, you'll see a video, so you don't have to interpret what somebody said in an article. You can watch it. And so you have YouTube. I don't use Twitter. I know some people use Twitter. There's lots of information. There's the news out there. There are many outlets to get information. Is that right? And we have always desired information. Now, information in and of itself is not wrong, but what fuels us to go and get information and what we're looking to do with it, that's where the question lies. We don't even have to memorize things anymore because a quick search can get us all that we wanted to know. If you are around my age, I'm a millennial, then you may recall teachers telling us growing up that you can't get used to using a calculator because you're not always going to have a calculator with you. I'm so sorry, Mrs. Anderson, you were wrong. That's false. I have a calculator in my pocket all the time, anytime I need it. And if I can't figure out how to use it, then I just get on YouTube. And so we have access to information. You know, I think about my wife. Maybe some of you can relate to this. My wife and I, we watch movies. My wife watches movies and I just obey. Is that fair? My wife loves to watch movies and I will say yes from time to time. I've learned to not say anymore, babe, whatever you want to watch. Because we will watch Pocahontas over and over and over. We don't have daughters. We just have one son and my wife still likes Pocahontas. But we'll watch some other stuff and it's become this joke now between us, because if we're ever watching something we've never seen before, my wife is a talker during movies. She also likes subtitles. Anybody next to you like subtitles and talks during movies? Okay. So my wife would ask me questions throughout the movie and she wants to know the ending before the ending, which defeats the whole purpose of watching the movie. And so she'll ask me questions. Typically, it's like, hey, do you think they survive in the end? Do you think they get married? If it's a rom-com, yes, they get married. If it's on Lifetime, yes, they get married. If it's a Christmas movie, of course they get married. I mean, I could just tell you, and I haven't done any research. It's just the Spirit of God is on me, let me tell you. And if I ever don't know the answer, I see my wife reach into her pocket, pull out her phone, it lights up, and she just does a Google search because she cannot stand not knowing how the movie unfolds. Anybody relate to that? All right. Y'all are in good company. So we love information. Well, today we're talking about following the shepherd. And man, the reality of following God is that you don't always get the information. God leads us to do some things that he just says one word and we're just supposed to follow. I think about the story of Abram where God actually gives him a promise and he gives him a plan, but he doesn't tell him when it's going to unfold. Anybody ever been in a situation where you're like, okay, I think I'm doing what I'm supposed to do, but I have not seen the light at the end of the tunnel. I remember during 2020, we were all under lockdown and I'm thinking, okay, at some point we're supposed to be over this, but I don't know when this is going to end. Like, when is this up? You can't Google search that. And so, man, we're always looking for information. But following the shepherd, I believe, consists of three very important things. And so that's what we're going to unpack this morning. The first one, if you're taking notes, it's hearing him. Following the shepherd consists of hearing him. John 10:27 says, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me." My sheep hear my voice, I know them, and they follow me. Now, let me tell you this about hearing God. The first thing I want all of us to understand is that hearing God is a natural ability. We were created by our Heavenly Father with an innate ability. He's given us the capacity to hear his voice. Now, some of you may be thinking, I have never heard his voice. That's okay. I've never audibly heard God's voice. So if you've never heard God in that way, that's totally fine. But he has created us to be able to hear him. So when my son was born, he's about 14 months old. His name is Levi. And we were in the hospital. And right before we took him home, they ran some of the tests. And they did a hearing test. Now, I remember in grade school, we would go to the nurse's office and do a hearing test. They would put the earmuffs on. They would put a chime in your ear. And you were supposed to raise your right hand or your left hand, letting them know you could hear it. I don't know that that works for babies. I'm not sure what they do, but the doctor took him away, came back and said, he can hear. I was like, praise God, we're good. And then they take him away and then they bring him back and they're like, he can see too. And I was like, I don't know. Like, I know the test that I'm looking at where it's 2020, 2015, 2010. And I know how adults figured out, but I don't know how babies figured out. But I knew that my son could hear because there was a time when his eyes were shut, I knew he wasn't sleeping, and I just said his name, Levi. And he heard my voice and he opened his eyes. Now, he doesn't know his name and he doesn't know who I am, but he heard my voice. It's innate. We didn't have to teach him to be able to hear. He started with the capacity. You guys following me? Okay, so the next part about hearing God, though, is that it not only is it innate, but it's also something that's learned. So over time, our ability to hear God is actually enhanced through relationship. So my son, when he was about right at a year, we started doing this really fun thing. So I learned that the word no doesn't work with a baby. If you have kids, you know that as well. So no matter when I said no, he just didn't respond. I thought he was being rebellious. I started praying for him. He wanted nothing to do with it. But there is this thing he started responding to that's really become fun for us. So what I'll do is I'll get behind a corner in our house and I'll peek my head out and I'll make eye contact with him. And when I make eye contact, I'll quickly hide back behind the corner and I know that he's getting curious. And so I'll say, "Where's Levi?" And I'll pop my head out. And every time this big smile comes on his face and I can hear his knees ruffling on the carpet and he now is in crawling position. And then he'll wait one more time and I'll say, "Where's Levi?" And then I hear the giggles and he starts crawling and he's making a beeline and he is looking for dad. Now, when he was a newborn, he didn't know who dad was. But now that I've been consistent with him, I've spoken to him. He's learning that the sound of my voice is the sound of his father. And so when I say, "Where's Levi?" he's responding because he's learned who I am. in the same way with our Heavenly Father. He's not wanting to just get our attention. He's wanting to bring us into His presence. So when He calls out to you, when He's speaking to you, He's wanting you to learn His voice. And so many times we get caught up in the busyness of life of we're listening to everybody else's voice. We're going to social media. We're going to the internet. We're going to our favorite news channel. We're going to that crazy coworker at work that maybe they have some conspiracy updates. I don't know. We're going somewhere to get information. And come on, if you've ever spent time trying to hear the voice of God, it's challenging, right? Like, it's hard to understand what God is saying to us. And so we rush through our quiet time. We ask God, hey, Lord, will you just take this from me? If you're leading me in a different direction, will you just let me know? And then you go back to doing whatever you were doing before. And it's like you've already forgotten that you've asked God to guide you. Scripture tells us a wise man plans his ways, but the Lord directs his steps. The only way that the Lord can direct your steps is through relationship. I've often heard God is a gentleman. He's not going to force his way on you. Your free will, your capacity to make decisions is what marks you as being made in his image. The creative force that God has to speak the world into existence, he gives you and he gives me that ability to choose what we want to create. My question is, what are we creating? Are we creating a life for ourselves that mimics something that we've seen someone else accomplish? Are we creating a life for ourselves to try to please our dad because we never got that affirmation growing up? Are we trying to create a life for ourselves that hopefully will give us this fulfillment? You guys, I've met a lot of people who have made a lot of money and they're not happy. I got a text from an elderly man last night who said, man, I've never felt purpose in my whole life. He's made money. He's connected with people. He's got a nice house in Colorado. And he's like, man, I've never found my meaning. And he openly shared with me, he's like, and I'm an atheist. I don't even believe in your God. But then he said this to me, will you pray that I find my way? Even people that seemingly have it all together, if they're pushed up against the brink of death, if they're pushed up against the brink of failure, if they're pushed up against the brink of divorce or bankruptcy, or their life is collapsing, you will find an answer that lies deep within their heart that they don't want to share. And it's that I don't know what I'm doing. And if any of you are in this room and you're saying, man, I'm kind of going through life, I'm coasting, I'm just kind of copying some of the decisions I've watched other people make. Man, that's okay. I'm glad you're here, but your Heavenly Father wants to guide you into the life of promise. Do you guys believe that this morning? And so it starts with hearing God. Number two, with following the shepherd, it's believing him. Genesis 15:6 says, and Abram believed the Lord, and the Lord counted him as righteous because of his faith. We have to choose daily between the tree of life and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. The temptation we all face is to go and get more knowledge before we believe. I remember a time where I was in high school and my dad, it was right around when the recession was hitting, back in 07, 08. And my dad was actively involved with church. My dad ensured that I stayed involved with church. And during that time, his company offered an opportunity for people to take a severance and voluntarily resign. And he prayed. And when he walked out of his time with the Lord, he felt like he was not supposed to take the severance, that he was supposed to stay. And that the Lord would make a way for him and that he wouldn't be let go in the midst of where the economy was going. And so a few weeks went by, he watched some of his buddies take the severance. You know, now they've got some money coming in and they're feeling comfortable, they're feeling prepared. It's like a little midlife retirement season. And he's like, no, I'm just going to stay the course. I feel like maybe this is what God said. And then he got let go. And in the most difficult financial time in his lifetime, he felt like I listened to God and God let me down. And can I tell you, that messed him up. And maybe some of us in this room, you've struggled in the area, not of hearing God, but of wondering, but is that God? And should I believe it? Like, if he really loved me, then my wife would not have got cancer a couple years ago. If he really loved me, then I would not have lost that job. If he really had good plans for me, then I wouldn't still be struggling just trying to make it. And so my dad was challenged because what happened and what he felt was a promise didn't line up. And when we read about Abram in scripture, God gives him a promise that he would be a father of many nations. In his lifetime, he did not see that. You guys, there are some words that God is speaking over you today. There are some things that you've journaled in the past couple years. You've put in a notebook, you've put that in a dresser drawer, and life got busy. You've moved past it. Maybe it's a calling into ministry. Maybe it's an idea for a business. Maybe it's a family member who you've lost touch with and you wrote down one day, I'm supposed to call them. And life got busy. And you've laid that thing to rest. I think I'm here to tell somebody today that the word that was put in your heart that you thought maybe was just an idea and, oh, well, if it's fate, it'll happen. Doesn't work like that. What if Abram took that approach? What if Moses took that approach? What if Jesus took that approach? It doesn't work that way. Because God loves us and he gives us that free will, he's going to speak something. And now it's up to us to do something with it. So in 2018, I was spending time with the Lord. I'm in a back brace. I had just had back surgery. My wife was in Costa Rica and I was supposed to be there with her. She still went because it was a mission trip, not a vacation, even though the picture she sent me, I was like, I don't know if y'all were preaching the gospel. Y'all were ziplining in Costa Rica. Whatever, not jealous. I'm good. And so I'm sitting in my apartment. I've got these two little dogs running around just annoying me. I'm in pain, but I'm saying, God, I know you're not going to waste this time. I was supposed to be there and there was ministry to do, but God, I believe you want to minister to me. What is it that you want to do in this week? And so as I just spent time worshiping, just like we did this morning, as I spent time just praising God, giving worth to God, I opened up my Bible and I start praying. And I get this really strange word from the Lord, just an impression in my spirit. And he says, get mobile. Now, I don't know if any of you guys invest, but I'm thinking, okay, T-Mobile, is this like a word? Is this a divine word? Like, here's how I'm getting out of this economy. Like, I'm going to invest in T-Mobile. No. Okay, Lord, am I supposed to get an RV? Am I supposed to start traveling? I knew that wasn't it, but I didn't know what he meant. And so I spent the next month just wrestling with this word of like, get mobile. That doesn't make sense. And so after my wife got back from the trip, we started trying to process. So the Bible says a wise man plans his ways, but the Lord directs his steps. So I thought, okay, planning is okay. So get mobile. And I started thinking how my wife and I were considering getting a house at the time. And I thought, okay, if we get into a house, we're a bit more anchored. So maybe we're not supposed to get a house. And if we're in debt, I always grew up hearing the borrower is slave to the lender. And if I'm a slave, then I'm not mobile. I'm chained up. So maybe we're not supposed to get a house and maybe we're supposed to just get out of debt. And so we knew nothing else but get mobile. And so we stayed in the apartment and we just started paying off debt. We had probably $40,000 worth of debt. We had a vehicle and we got that paid off in 18 months. Well, 1 month after the Lord said, get mobile, same deal. I'm reading scripture, I'm praying, I'm worshiping. And as I'm reading through the book of Matthew, I see this encounter where Jesus says to Peter, you guys may remember this, you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church. Leading up to that moment, I had been wrestling inside because I was walking in my calling. I was a youth pastor. I loved what I was doing. I was seeing kids come to Jesus. I was seeing relationships restored between moms and dads and their children. I loved it, but I knew that there was something stirring in my heart for something to come. And I actually was scared to bring it up to God because I felt like if I asked the Lord about my future, it may show that I'm not satisfied with my present. And so I didn't even want to go there. But I knew there were some things that God was calling me to, but I just didn't want to go there. And so I'm reading this passage, and the same way that I felt get mobile in my heart, I'm reading this, and I felt the Lord put it in my heart, I'm calling you to plant a church. Okay, guys, what do we do with that when the Lord says, I'm calling you to plant a church? I did not have the money. I did not have the experience. I don't know how to plant a church. At that point, I didn't know anyone who had planted a church. And I'm stuck with, okay, get mobile and plant a church. Those words seem to go together, but what do I do next? So I did what every good Christian says. Where? I don't know. Where am I supposed to go? I said, Lord, I'll go anywhere as long as it's not as hot as Texas. So I was like, Arizona's out. Nevada is out. Check this out. The Lord says to me, what is the city that I put in your heart since you were a little boy? So what only my parents and my wife knew about me is since I was 8 years old, I had a passion for the city of Denver, Colorado. Since John Elway, Shannon Sharp, Terrell Davis took them to the Super Bowl back in 97, 98, I love the Denver Broncos. Anybody? Anybody? That's okay. That's okay. That's why the Lord's sending me there. What about the Cowboys? Any Cowboys fans? Okay, this is a mixed group. I'm done throwing out teams. Y'all are like, whoever wins, that's who I'm cheering for. So when the Lord says, what is the city I put on your heart since you were a little boy? I recognize something. Our God is not bound by time. Amen. He is not bound by this. So when he goes into my past and inserts a seed of passion for a city that I knew nothing about, I knew no one there, I had no friends, no family, never even visited, but I had this childhood passion for a city. And then fast forward in 2018, the Lord takes that seed and says, hey, I'm actually turning this. What became a passion in the past is now a purpose to reach people. And so what I learned about my Heavenly Father is that he cares about me and he is working throughout my life. And so what was a seed back then is turning into something else. And because no one else other than my wife and my parents knew about Denver, Colorado, I felt like God saw me. He said something very specific that to this day, and I could take this to the grave, that God has called me to Denver, Colorado. I don't know how long. I don't know what the details of all that looks like, but God has given me a place and he's called me to plant a church. And so we've actually been on a 4-year journey to see that thing come to pass. And so we are 2 months out. Our house is on the market right now. If you know anybody looking to move to Salina, Texas, that's where your boy is at. And we're trying to get this house sold. But I'm like, hey, Lord, if you can speak to me back in 1998 and you can speak to me in 2018, Lord, you can get this house sold. So I'm not even worried about it. But what he's done over the course of my life is he has increased my belief. And so the things that God did for Abram increased his belief. When Abram takes Isaac up on the mountain and he sees the provision of the Lord when he is about to sacrifice his son, do you think that he questioned God after that? When you see God come through in a way that no man could mimic, no amount of money could purchase, no doctor could fix, and you see a miracle from the divine, from the Ancient of Days, your belief is anchored. And if we're going to follow the shepherd, we have to believe in him. God speaks mysteries to us and reveals them over time. You guys, if God has spoken a word in your heart and you can't shake it and you can't make sense of it, write it down and meet with one of your pastors. Meet with a strong man or woman of God and share that. Say, hey, come with it in a posture of humility to say, this may or may not be God, but I feel like this is what the Lord may be telling me to do. What do you think about that? And the difference here, when we're talking about the tree of life and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, is the purpose of getting the knowledge. So it's not wrong to get knowledge. In fact, in Proverbs, it says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Fools despise wisdom and instruction. Eve wanted wisdom. That wasn't wrong. She failed the instruction. And so if our effort in getting more information is to say, Lord, I believe this is what you're speaking, so I'm going to come alongside some wise counsel. Like the Bible says, if a builder is going to build a building, he's going to count the cost, count the supplies to ensure that he can finish the project. If a king is going to go to war, he's going to make sure that he knows what it takes, what they're going up against. If God has spoken something into your heart, it's okay to get information about it. But know that it's God. Know that it's God. Follow the shepherd and believe that the creator of your soul, the author and perfecter of your faith, is more than able to do exceedingly abundantly more than anything you could ask or imagine. Following the shepherd, point number three, following the shepherd consists of obeying him. So hearing him, believing him, obeying him. You guys still with me? All right. We may need some more coffee in the room. I think that's what it is. This overcast has just like put us all at rest. Obeying him. John 8:28 says, so Jesus said to them, when you have lifted up the Son of Man, then you will know that I am he, and that I do nothing on my own authority, but speak just as the Father taught me. When we're following the shepherd, guys, our obedience means that we march with the authority of the one who instructed us. So I heard our senior pastor over at Gateway, Robert Morris, share this story. So growing up, his dad was a businessman. And Robert, as a teenager, as a young adult, he was just an employee working for his dad. So as an employee, he had no authority. As the son of the owner, come on, he had a lot of authority. And so when we come in line with the owner, with the one, with the divine, and we don't just go for our selfish ambitions, we don't just pursue what the world tells us or what our heart tells us, when we fall in line and we march to the orders of our king, then we get to operate in the authority that he gives us. Amen? And so that's what Jesus is saying. He's like, I don't do anything unless the Father told me to. How do you know the Father? Look at me. Jesus is the perfect embodiment of God the Father. You guys believe that? If the greatest one to ever walk among men says, I do nothing on my own authority, then we should too. So what is it? What has God put in your heart? What is the word that he spoke? What is that thing that you journaled? And maybe if you don't have it yet, let me encourage you. Your creator speaks. And he wants to speak to you. And he doesn't want to speak to you to tell you what to do. He wants to speak to you so that you know him and so that you can be with him. When I look at my son and I say, where's Levi? It's not because I want him to say, oh, dad, I'm in the dining room. I was actually just eating some crusty food that fell on the ground from last week. And I've got a dirty diaper. And what do you want me to do? No, come on. My son lights up and he comes to me. That is the only thing that I want. If he woke up every morning asking me, Dad, what do you want me to do today? I would be very disappointed in myself. Our Heavenly Father is not waking you up in the middle of the night to tell you something to do. He wants to tell you who you are. And if anyone is struggling with identity, get with your Father, because the voice of the Father solidifies identity in our hearts. In Acts 5, we have this really cool story. I get fired up reading this. So Peter and the apostles are going into Jerusalem. Jesus has ascended. The whole thing has happened. They've been witnesses to it. And now they are preaching the gospel. And so we pick up the story in Acts 5, verse 27. It says, and when they had brought them, they set them before the council. So they get arrested. I don't know if anybody's been arrested. Don't raise your hand. They get arrested. They get set before the council, and the high priest questioned them, saying, we strictly charged you not to teach in this name. What name is that? Jesus. Yet here you have filled Jerusalem with your teaching, and you intend to bring this man's blood upon us. But Peter and the apostles answered, we must obey God rather than men. the God of our fathers, raised Jesus, whom you killed, hanging him on a tree. God exalted him at his right hand as leader and savior to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. And we are witnesses to these things, and so is the Holy Spirit, whom God has given to those who obey him. But when they heard this, they were enraged and wanted to kill them. Peter, bad sermon, didn't work out, outside, they're going to kill you. But watch this. A Pharisee in the council named Gamaliel, a teacher of the law held in high honor by all the people, stood up and gave orders to the men outside for a little while. And he said to them, "Men of Israel, take care what you are about to do with these men. For before these days, Theudas rose up claiming to be somebody, and a number of men, about 400, joined him. He was killed, and all who followed him were dispersed and came to nothing. After him, Judas the Galilean rose up in the days of the census and drew away some of the people after him. He too perished, and all who followed him were scattered. So in the present case, I tell you, keep away from these men and let them alone. For if this plan or this undertaking is of man, it will fail. But if it is of God, you will not be able to overthrow them. You might even be found opposing God." So they took his advice, and Peter and the apostles lived to preach another day. If we are going through this life trying to do things our way, following selfish ambition, trying to operate in our own authority, come on, it will fail. Your business might succeed. You might stay married until you die. But come on, what are we looking for? What is success? I will define success to you in this life right here. Hear him, believe him, and obey him. What God has called you to is just as important as when he calls you to it. So he might have put something in your heart, and it may not mean for right now, but it may mean for a day to come. Abraham did not walk in the promise of God fully. It actually came about several years later. A father of many nations, the Israelites were enslaved in Egypt for 400 years. You might be looking at a promise where you're saying, "I know that I'm doing what God told me to do, but my outcome doesn't speak of it. What is going on? I got that diagnosis, and Lord, you tell me to hit my knees and pray. Lord, by your stripes, I am healed. God, I have been praying. I have been faithful. I am not seeing it come to pass. What do I do between now and then?" Stay faithful. Stay committed. I told you Peter and the apostles lived to preach another day. A day came where they did pass. There are some things that God spoke to you that maybe it's for your kids. Maybe your obedience is actually supposed to bless your grandchildren. Maybe you're supposed to start something today, not because God wants to see it finished by you, but he wants to see your grandkids walk in the fullness of the legacy that you've prepared for them. So our church is called Legacy Hills Church that we're planting. And my commission from God is to help people understand that we all came from a legacy. Christianity has been around for 2,000 years, but we are firmly rooted in Jewish culture. We are firmly rooted in a story that's been happening since the creation of the world. We didn't just start. Jesus wasn't a Christian. That blows people's minds. Jesus was not a Christian. He was a Jew. And so what happens in our culture, in Western Christianity, is a kid grows up, hits 18, moves out, and has to start everything all over. We're constantly looking for ways to find out who we are and who God's created us to be because we don't know where we came from. If I were to do a survey in this room and say, "Can anybody name their great grandfather?" We might get a couple. But if I said, "Can anybody name your great, great, great grandfather?" Maybe one. and you'd have to get on Google or Ancestry.com. It's hard to believe in who you're called to be if you don't know where you came from. And the Word of God shows us who He is and who we are. So let me say this. If you're trying to get through this life and you're wondering, what am I supposed to do? Who am I? You are not a product of your mom and your dad. Your DNA speaks of it. Your genes speak of it. But you are not a product. You're a product of the One who created you. Amen? And so when God speaks, I want us to hear. When God speaks, I want us to believe. And when God speaks, I want us to obey. Like Moses venturing in the wilderness toward nothing but a promise from God. May we all have the courage to speak to the Pharaohs over us, cross the Red Seas in front of us, and step into all that awaits us. We can do this. Will you guys bow your heads? Well, Lord, we thank You for this time to be together. And certainly in a room like this, there's people all over the map. God, we've struggled to hear Your voice. God, we've seen and heard that You've talked to other people. We read stories in the Bible where You talked clearly. Lord, there was no ambiguity. God, it was clear. And Lord, in our own lives, we're wrestling with, but can I hear God? Lord, I pray that You would lay that question to rest by speaking to Your sons and Your daughters this week. And God, for those of us who have a word that maybe it was a passion as a kid that we thought, no, that was just a fantasy. That was just child's play. That's not for today. God, if it's something that You want to resurrect, if it's something that's written in a notebook in a nightstand somewhere, God, would You draw it to our minds? You are not bound by time. So Your voice back then is just as powerful as Your voice today. So Lord, would You draw to our memory anything that You've spoken in the past? If maybe some of us feel like we're going in circles, we're running the same race, we're coming up against the same challenges. Lord, maybe there was something that You spoke to us back then and we weren't obedient. And Lord, we know that partial obedience is disobedience. And so God, there is a fullness. Your word says that nothing You say returns void. And so if You spoke it back then, there is a fullness and completeness that You want us to carry out. And so Lord, would You draw those things to our memory right now? And Lord, for those of us in this room that are paralyzed, we don't have the money, we don't have the health, we may not have enough time on this earth, we don't have the right network or friends to do what You're calling us to do, Lord, would You give us the courage like Joshua to take a step? God, if You have spoken it, then it is a promise. And Lord, like the Israelites, they had the Red Sea before them, they had the wilderness before them, and they had the Jordan. But every single day they took one step. Lord, would You show us what that one step is? Maybe it's to have a conversation with a relative we've lost touch with. Maybe it's to call that child that walked away from God. Maybe it's simply to say yes to serving. Maybe it's, God, I'm going to show up every Sunday because I want to be planted in the house of the Lord. New Life is my home. I want to be here. God, You're doing something in this place. Lord, I will be obedient to get in Your presence. Lord, help us to take that step. Give us the courage to believe that if You've authored it, You will finish it. We don't have to have it figured out. We don't have to know everything from beginning to end. We just have to say yes. In Jesus' name.